Joseph Ellison Timaan Valle. Book 2, Chapter 2 of the Ecclesiastical History of England by the Venerable Bede. In the meantime, Augustine, with the help of King Ethelbert, drew together to a conference the bishops and doctors of the nearest province of the Britons, at a place which is to this day called, in the English language, Augustine's Ack, that is, Augustine's Oak, on the borders of the Huaxs and West Saxons, and began by brotherly admonitions to persuade them to preserve Catholic peace with him, and undertake the common labor of preaching the gospel to the heathen for the Lord's sake. For they did not keep Easter Sunday at the proper time, but from the 14th to the 20th moon, which computation is contained in a cycle of 84 years. Besides, they did many other things which were opposed to the unity of the Church, when, after a long disputation, they did not comply with the entreaties, exhortations, or rebukes of Augustine and his companions, but preferred their own traditions before all the churches, which are united in Christ throughout the world. The Holy Father Augustine put an end to this troublesome and tedious contentation, saying, "Let us entreat God, who maketh men to be of one mind in his Father's house, to vouchsafe by signs from heaven, to declare to us which tradition is to be followed, and by what path we are to strive to enter his kingdom. Let some sick man be brought, and let the faith and practice of him, by whose prayers he shall be healed, be looked upon as hallowed in God's sight, and such as should be adopted by all." His adversaries unwillingly consenting, a blind man of the English race was brought, who, having been presented to the British bishops, found no benefit or healing from their ministry. At length, Augustine, compelled by strict necessity, bowed his knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying that he would restore his lost sight to the blind man, and by the bodily enlightenment of one kindle the grace of spiritual light in the hearts of many of the faithful. Immediately the blind man received sight, and Augustine was proclaimed by all to be a true herald of the light from heaven. The Britons then confessed that they perceived that it was the true way of righteousness which Augustine taught, but that they could not depart from their ancient customs without the consent and sanction of their people. They therefore desired that a second time a synod might be appointed, at which more of their number should be present. This being decreed, there came, it is said, 7 bishops of the Britons, and many men of great learning, particularly from their most celebrated monastery, which is called in the English tongue Bancornaborg. Bancornaborg, and over which the abbot Dinod is said to have presided at that time. That they were to go to the aforesaid council, betook themselves first to a certain holy and discreet man, who was wont to lead the life of a hermit among them, to consult with them whether they ought, at the preaching of Augustine, to forsake their traditions. He answered, "If he is a man of God, follow him." "How shall we know that?" said they. "How shall we know that?" said they. He replied, "Our Lord saith, 'Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart.' If therefore Augustine is meek and lowly of heart, it is to be believed that he bears the yoke of Christ himself, and offers it to you to bear. But if he is harsh and proud, it is plain that he is not of God, nor are we to regard his words." They said again, "And how shall we discern even this?" "Do you contrive," said the anchorite, "that he first arrive with his company at the place where the synod is to be held. And if at your approach he rises tip to you, hear him submissively, being assured that he is a servant of Christ. But if he despises you and does not rise up to you, whereas you are more in number, let him also be despised by you." They did as he directed, and it happened, that as they approached, Augustine was sitting on a chair. When they perceived it, they were angry, and charging him with pride, set themselves to contradict all he said. He said to them, "Many things ye do which are contrary to our custom, or rather the custom of the universal church. And yet, if you will comply with me in these three matters, to wit, to keep Easter at the due time, to fulfill the ministry of baptism, by which we are born again to God, according to the custom of the Holy Roman Apostolic Church, and to join with us in preaching the word of God to the English nation, we will gladly suffer all the other things you do, though contrary to our customs." They answered that they would do none of those things, nor receive him as their archbishop. For they said among themselves, "If he would not rise up to us now, how much more will he despise us as of no account, if we begin to be under his subjection?" Then the man of God, Augustine, is said to have threatened them, that if they would not accept peace with their brethren, they should have war from their enemies, and if they would not preach the way of life to the English nation, they should suffer at their hands the vengeance of death. All which, through the dispensation of the divine judgment, fell out exactly as he had predicted. For afterwards, the warlike king of the English, Ethelfrid, of whom we have spoken, having raised a mighty army, made a very great slaughter of the heretical nation at the city of Legions, Chester, which by the English is called Legacheste, but by the Britons more rightly called Legion. Being about to give battle, he observed their priests, who were come together to offer up their prayers to God for the combatants, standing apart in a place of greater safety. He inquired who they were, and what they came together to do in that place. Most of them were of the monastery of Bangor, in which it is said there was so great a number of monks that the monastery, being divided into seven parts, with a superior set over each, none of those parts contained less than 300 men, who all lived by the labor of their hands. Many of these, having observed a fast of 3 days, had come together along with others to pray at the aforesaid battle, having one brochmail for their protector to defend them, whilst they were intent upon their prayers against the swords of the barbarians. King Ethelfrid, being informed of the occasion of their coming, said, "If then they cry to their God against us, in truth, though they do not bear arms, yet they fight against us, because they assail with their curses." He therefore commanded them to be attacked first, and then destroy the rest of the impious army, not without great loss of his own forces. About 1,200 of those that came to pray are said to have been killed, and only 50 to have escaped by flight. Brochmail, turning his back with his men at the first approach of the enemy, left those whom he ought to have defended unarmed and exposed to the swords of the assailants. Thus was fulfilled the prophecy of the holy Bishop Augustine, though he himself had been long before taken up into heavenly kingdom, that the heretics should feel the vengeance of the temporal death also, because they had despised the offer of eternal salvation. End of chapter 2 of the Ecclesiastical History of England by the Venerable Bede.